again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 252 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew. I'm joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back.
And a big show this week, Ben, because we are in the midst of EA Play 2018, and we got a big info dump about NBA Live 19. And, of course, we've also got some news about NBA 2K19 as well from Visual Concepts. They are, of course, not at EA Play, strangely enough. We do have news about both games. Not a lot to talk about as far as what we've been playing this week. We won't be doing an Our Week in Basketball Gaming segment there. I'll just throw in the usual intro here just so you don't miss out on it.
Oh, that's a devastating dunk in his face. Oh, he just stole his heart with that dunk right there.
But no, we won't be talking about Our Week in Basketball Gaming because we don't really have any exciting news for you this week as far as what we've been playing. But as far as what we've been seeing, Ben, yeah, we've got some good stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a nice surprise last night in terms of things and a lot more information that I thought. like, when I started reading the thing, I was like, wow, I'm gonna have to spend a few hours reading
it. We were both up quite late because, of course, it started. Well, the countdown started to a countdown, basically. We thought the countdown of the live stream then turned to a countdown on the live stream. So that was a bit of a miscommunication there, I guess, on the timing. But we were up very late. I was up till about 7 o'clock doing the news posts and the summaries on our main page and in the forum and obviously helping out with other people posting links and everything. But, yeah, late night for us.
Oh, yeah. But I think worth it, and yeah, it was like I said, it was more than expected in terms of the information. So yeah, I think we've got a lot to cover tonight. So
we absolutely do, and it was a bigger info dump than we thought. But let's tip things off with the teaser screenshot that came out before EA Play itself tipped off, and that was a teaser screenshot from the streets. It had a bunch of real NBA current NBA players. Who are real players. I will get to why they're not real players in a second. Current NBA players, former NBA players, WNBA players, and also, from the looks of things, Stretch from NBA Street, who is not a real player, although he is kind of modeled on Dr. J. Julius Erving, of course. But yes, we got this teaser and obviously got us talking before the event started.
Yeah, it was a nice little taste in what to prepare for. And good to see that the WNBA players will be playable in the one mode in terms of, at least for now, we know in the street side of things and all the pro-am stuff. So so the live events and the pro-am circuit stuff. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah, we've talked about how after they included WNBA players in NBA Live 18, how they could expand upon that for Live 19. I still think a season mode and possibly even a career mode would be a good move for the game, or even if it's just stripped down compared to the NBA content. But including them in the live events and obviously the Pro-Am Tour, live run, etc., and the one basically is a good move. We will also see the what appeared to be courts from around the world as well, international street courts, and of course that was later confirmed by the details we'll get into shortly. But a lot of exciting information conveyed simply by that first screenshot. The player models themselves look pretty good, you know, and the faces and everything. So it was nice to see the legends wearing wearing their authentic jerseys. So you could see that same kind of detail was in Live 18, of course. But basically, it got us hyped because we saw that and thought, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of cases, a lot of the visual aspects aren't too dissimilar from Live 18. Obviously, the visual aspects, obviously, you know, I expect further, like, upgrades in the, when that transition comes into the Frostbite. Though one thing it looks like they've done is they've got a new skeletal system. So I'm hoping that sort of helps eliminate some of the sort of ridges, especially in around the shoulders. Like, that was, I think, the one thing that sort of helped contribute to the animations looking
The stiffness, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
People had mentioned that, and I guess that takes us into the official reveal trailer, which came during the live stream of the press conference at EA Play, and a few people did note, that some of the movements still looked a little bit stiff compared to 2K or maybe even previous live games of previous generations, but there was a lot of improvement in the animations. Dunks and layups look a lot better.
The dribbling aspect as well.
The dribbling is obviously... I mean, dribbling has probably been the most impressive part of Live's animations in recent years, but they look even better. But I do hope that they've taken out some of those really awkward half hooks and things from the post moves in Live 18 that are still there, because occasionally you would still come across those animations that just don't look right. But what we saw in the trailer obviously is the best of what we've seen, but they say there's a lot of new dunks and layups and moves in the paint and things like that, and we saw some of them on display. The dribbling looks great. There is that little bit of stiffness in the shoulders still. Maybe it's not quite as fluid as it needs to be, but the game is looking, in motion, it's looking really good, and it is a cinematic trailer. It is obviously made to show the best of the animations in the game, but it is internal. It was done by the internal team. It's not CGI. It is in-game assets. So it looks really good, and it's got people, people were pretty fired up after the Live 18 stuff at last year's EA Play, but yeah. Live 19 is already getting a lot of hype, and people are saying this is looking pretty good, and I would definitely agree.
Yeah. One thing to take into account, too, with the trailer is that this trailer would technically probably be at least 4 weeks old.
It's still a work in progress game, so it's
yeah.
It speaks to their confidence, much like last year, that they are showing off the game this early, and it's not a CGI trailer. It's not really just a screenshot, although we do have screenshots. It is this official reveal trailer that they're dropping very early, so yeah. It's really cool to see. There's a lot of stuff that I'm concerned about or hoping for the best for with Live 19 as far as modes and gameplay, etc. And most of it's on the NBA side, because obviously we've seen a lot of stuff about the streets so far, because that is the hook. So it's understandable they'd show it, but I do want to I want to make sure that the NBA experience, I want them to make sure, I should say, that the NBA experience is as good as it can be. And although we did see some NBA footage in the trailer as well, it wasn't just streets footage. It was the NBA as well, and not just the league, but obviously Play Now, regular five versus five, non-player lock, traditional gameplay, I guess you could say. It certainly appeared to be highlights like that. So they did show some of that as well. They're just focusing on the hook. But I do hope that franchise has got the, as I've said before, that the modes across the board do have that that boost, not just the one. Apparently they've all received a little bit of love this year. That is the quote that we're hanging on to. But I am happy to see the game as it is. I'm excited and looking forward to playing it already, because it is looking so much better.
Yeah, I'm amazed by a lot of things that I saw in this trailer. Even like the usage of how the song was even incorporated to it, and how they've done some audio effects and. It's a mumble rap song, which is my normal sort of interest. But like I said, some of the filtering and effect, and how that transitioned into the visual side with the trailer, like how you sort of see the players splice a little bit.
Yeah.
When they did an effect, that was kind of cool.
It was really well done. That it hyped you up and was well presented. But the glimpses we saw of the game, as such as they were, because it's not real gameplay, of course. Yeah, it did look good. It looked better than Live 18. And a lot of people who are at EA Play said that watching the trailer, seeing it on the stream as we did, or on YouTube, whatever, afterwards, doesn't really do it justice as opposed to seeing it up close and in person. So that's also even more encouraging to hear.
Yeah. It actually looked really good. It's probably been one of the best reveal trailers that they had.
Yeah,
in a lot of things, in a lot of ways, in recent years. I'm really looking forward to sort of seeing and the little nuances and things that they've added in, and especially reading some of the content on the actual official site, and how they go into like some of the new additions and features and things like that. It's like there seems to be a lot of work in it. To me, what it looks like is obviously with the sort of taking the break after 16, so 17, 18 was obviously definitely having that foundation built. I'll use an analogy like with construction and buildings and stuff like that. It initially starts out a slow process, but when it comes down to like the last bit of it, you'll think, oh, you know, that there seems to be a fair amount of work to be done, but it actually that last little sort of 20% happens like really quickly in a lot of
Yeah,
ways.
comes together all in a
Yeah.
rush, absolutely.
So what I'm hoping is it's a similar thing to that they laid down all that hard work in the beginning of the foundation building and the layer building and all that sort of sense. And now, because that part's coming together a lot quickly, that they'll add all these extra elements of depth and things that we've seen and taken into account too. You know, they've incorporated the real player motion that was in FIFA last year. So,
And
you know,
I believe it's in Madden now as well.
yeah. So, sort of overhauling a lot of the animations and again with the new skeletal system that they have and the real player motion and stuff. And so they put a lot of work into it in that aspect of it. So for the first iteration of using the real player motion, it's looking promising in that sense. So hopefully by year two, so Live 20 or whatever they're going to name it, it's actually going to look, you know, that little bit more further polished and more refined and all that stuff. So,
And it speaks to the importance of developing that solid foundation for the game to be on. And it's what
yeah.
set the game back. Going right back to NBA Elite 11, changing things up then and going in a bad direction with NBA Elite 11, and then coming back and then having to rebuild and rebuilding the team and the turnover on the team and not really developing that solid foundation. Whereas 2K were able to keep their solid foundation and just really develop and build upon that over the years. And that's why it has, I mean, obviously it's erred here and there as well, and we've gone into that in great detail many times, but they've had that consistency that Live has not, or has not been able to, because it hasn't had that the consistent building those building blocks, those foundation and the building blocks to work with hasn't had that, and it's been changing direction and rebuilding the team and all that kind of stuff.
The
So
reinventing the wheel process is a
absolutely, and now that it's been able to stick with the plan and develop things, and Sean O'Brien took it, you know, with his vision and was able to establish that foundation. And now Sean Grady, with coming in from Madden, and with the team, you know, many of the people on the same team still there, just still continuing to build on that established foundation. We are actually seeing those at long last. We're seeing those improvements come to fruition, or certainly a start to come to fruition.
Yeah, just sort of trying to think to a lot of the things that we haven't covered yet with it.
Well, I mean that's the trailer. We do have a big info dump
Okay.
to cover with all the articles that have come out. Before we move on to that, something that is worth noting from the trailer is a couple of lines that may hint at the cover player, and that is the use of the words "trust the process," and Joel Embiid is quite heavily featured in the both on the streets and in the NBA portions of the trailer as well. So, you know, could it be a hint that he is the cover player? Obviously, he's a rising star, a big name, certainly very popular. And the whole "trust the process" mantra that has been going on in Philadelphia with the rebuilding of the 76ers could really tie in with what NBA Live has been doing, trusting the process and coming back. So conceptually, it would be a nice tie-in in that respect.
Yeah, and again, this is sort of what I was going to throw it in regards to the lyrics or the theme song, you know, work as a team, fulfill the dream aspect, or
Yeah.
damn it, yeah, the essentially that sort of line in that. So that hints that, or just sort of ties into this whole potential in that sense that, well, that what Live is doing is basically the similar type thing that Philly went through in that sense. So it makes perfect like sense in terms of like a chemistry element in that
It
yeah
does,
that
and building the foundation, trusting the process, sticking with this game as they've been rebuilding it, and obviously people have questioned it as just as they've questioned the rebuilding efforts in Philadelphia. So there are the parallels there. So that is just purely speculation, but if they have chosen Joel Embiid as the cover player, that's some pretty good foreshadowing in the trailer. Basically, they've done that quite well.
Yeah.
The other thing the trailer has confirmed is the release date of September 7th, and we will get into dates a little bit later on, but that puts it in line with the newly announced 20th anniversary edition of NBA 2K19. So it'll be coming out the same day as the special edition of 2K19, whereas the standard edition will be, even if you pre-order it, will be September 11th. We will get into that later in the show because that's a whole other issue. But they're obviously going head-to-head with that and wanting people to get into the game as soon as possible. They are all about competing. So we'll be coming out September 7th, and also the demo August 24th. So once again, giving us that demo much like last year, and no more information about the demo at the moment. But I'd say, just as we speculated last week, it's probably going to be pretty much the same this year. So good approach all around.
Yeah, from what I've heard or seen or read is that pre-order for Live is going up June 24th. Mm-hmm. Or available June 24th. So there allows a few weeks for NBA Live to get a little bit more information out about the game, you know, so the consumers can decide whether this is, you know, something that they want to get straight away, or, you know, maybe wait a few weeks or something like that. So, it's a different approach to what 2K is doing in that sort of sense.
Absolutely. And it was a very cool trailer. I'm glad that I stayed up and we got to watch that live, I suppose, even though it did cause me to sleep in very late on Sunday, into Sunday afternoon, indeed. But the other thing that kept me up, of course, was the dropping of various articles, both from the official NBA Live website and also media outlets, including SB Nation and The Undefeated, basically talking about some of the initial details of the game. It was a huge info dump, as we said in the intro, more than we were expecting. To get this early, but we do have some great information about the game. Trying to summarize it for the news post was quite difficult, Ben. There's a lot to digest. I do encourage you to read those articles in full, because it's hard to do them justice in just a few paragraphs. I wanted to touch upon the key improvements, the things that we really gleaned from the articles, but really should get the full insight by reading them. But we'll cover them as best as we can and talk about what we're excited about. Before we get into some of the articles, there's a preliminary features list that was posted on the official website, and that just gives a few hints about the focus and some of the key features this year. It's not complete, as far as I can see, because it doesn't mention things like franchise mode and Ultimate Team and other aspects that obviously they're going to push, because they're not about to take those out of the game, we hope. But looking at this preliminary features list, starting off with narrative gameplay, and the description for that is as follows. No two experiences are ever the same in NBA Live 19, as it's both a reactive and a narrative game. Make choices on and off the court and trigger developing gameplay scenarios tailored to your decisions. And it's more of that. Some of the articles go into more detail about that, but there's that dynamic element of it and reactive artificial intelligence that sounds like it's going to be a more strategic and live game this year, I guess, if you'll excuse the pun.
Yeah, well, yes, I was just trying to remember everything from all the articles and that, and it's like...
So yeah, I mean, just sticking with that narrative gameplay point, that's already quite promising information quite there, and the more dynamic experience, not as sterile, not as predictable. Although we have...
Feeling repetitive in that sort of sense. So, like,
of course, we have...
Too much the same.
I mean, it is... people point out that there are certainly buzzwords there. We've heard the same thing about the Eco Motion engine in NBA 2K. Whether that's come to fruition is debatable as well, but I do like the sound of what they're going for, at least.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and definitely the better that they, both teams, obviously, like two teams and that, is sort of make the game feel like each game you play feel more unique, and that definitely helps in the long run. It will add that longevity factor and make it feel, especially in maybe in a career mode aspect, make it feel less of a grind in some way, where it feels so much the same, make it just feel like same monotonous moves will get you the same, or the same exploits will get you the same result in a lot of ways. So yeah, if they can definitely make it engaging in that sense, where it definitely feels different and that you have to strategize differently and actually develop and enhance your skills as a player, to counteract the AI changes and stuff, then I think for us, we'll be better gamers in that sort of sense, in that, yeah, we have to focus more and not just sort of roll with, you know, like I said, the exploit stuff that, you know, that we might find and use, and just sort of put that on repeat so much.
It's a more lifelike experience, more real basketball, yeah, which is what we've been asking for. Of course, some people, what they've been asking for, what they get is, it's a bit of a rude awakening when they still want to do those video game tactics. We've all been there at some point. The next point is real player motion, which we've already touched upon when we talked about the trailer. With our next level animation system, feel and see the fluidity of realistic basketball with enhanced gameplay that rocks rims like nothing else. I like a bit of basketball lingo there in my my preliminary features list. We have seen that, obviously, in a preliminary sense, in the trailer. So that is good news that tech is being shared with FIFA and Madden. So that's obviously good news, and shows that the Ignite engine is not as limited as we thought it might be.
Yeah, it definitely helps in that sense. Because we all worry that, you know, has it reached its peak, or can they do any more with it? So, but it looks like the one good thing with what EA has done with Ignite and the Real Motion engine and Frostbite is some of the tech can actually sort of transition between the two, and that, so that is a good indicator, or a good thing potentially, for when they do make the transition from Ignite to Frostbite, that it can help eliminate some of the potential hassles and development issues in terms of the conversion and all that sense. So hoping that makes it easier for them for when they do make that jump in the end. That's definitely my...
I mean, they've built this solid foundation, as we've just been talking about. It would be a tremendous shame if they go to the next generation or even transferring to Frostbite on the current generation. For it to take a step backwards after all the progress they've made would be incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
The next point is dynamic commentary. Discover hours and hours of unique commentary and monthly updates throughout the season, keeping each game fresh and exciting. This is something that Madden's had, actually, monthly commentary updates, and from my understanding, it's really enhanced the experience.
That's really cool. I've still got to play Madden. It's just when I got it, I didn't have hard drive space, and now that I got the external, so I got to play that a little bit more and obviously see how those affect and how it adds that extra dynamic to the game and that. So yeah,
and obviously gameplay is important. Game modes are there. Commentary, I know a lot of people turn it off or don't really care about it either way, but it is a big part of the presentation. Obviously, it's part of the atmosphere, the immersion of the experience, and a lot of people have noted that the commentary in the last few NBA Live games has felt a bit stilted and repetitive, and they've repeated lines from years before. They haven't really updated them, and they're not really moving along with the season as obviously they are with Madden, how they've been doing it. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea, and obviously it's another one of those things that you can do these days. So to go all out in having that evolving experience, which I know Live has been aiming for with things in the past, like big moments and, of course, DNA and the roster updates and everything. So I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it helps. Again, it's all about longevity of play, and, you know, if one sense in terms of hearing is sort of getting bored or sick of hearing the sort of the same thing over and over again, it can be a turnoff and that sort of thing. And you know, if the same commentary has been in the, you know, elements of the same commentary has been in the game for a couple of years now, then yes, I can sort of see that going, oh, it feels like the same thing, or it just doesn't feel like much of a transition from the previous year's game in that sort of sense. So yeah,
it's like the old days of commentary where it was obviously couldn't be updated during the year, or was very difficult to, not really feasible with internet connections and storage space at the time, and it was just very stilted and, you know, very primitive. It was cool to have it in the game, but you go back and you play those old games and you realize just how repetitive and bad sometimes the commentary is. The next point is live arena. The action doesn't end after the whistle. Now you can interact with the bench, crowd, and environment, immersing you in the game like never before. And this is really cool because, again, it is that making the game feel very alive and dynamic. For Monday tip-off this week, I posted my comeback victories in Ultimate Team, if you've caught that video. And if you catch the game-winning shot I made with Chris Mullen at the end of the second game, you know, there's the excitement from Mike Breen. He's like, for the win! And then and it goes in, and then, you know, they win the game in dramatic fashion, and the players just kind of, and just want to walk off the court and don't really have that reaction. So we've talked about this before, and a lot of people have complained about this in basketball games over the years, that there isn't that life to the game that players... you might get a cutscene afterwards, but in the immediate reactions on the court in the gameplay, you don't have always those celebrations that are appropriate to the moment. Like, you make a big game-winning shot, you know, that you wouldn't run and celebrate to the crowd, or that all the players would show excitement, whereas opposed to just like, oh yeah, just run back on defense. We just hit a big shot to win the game with 0.4 of a second left. Yeah, whatever.
You know, we'll walk straight to the locker room.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, again, maybe triggering a cutscene after that, but there was that disconnect. So, you know, again, that goes into the whole presentation and making you really get immersed in the game and feel excited by it. So that's good.
And the characters feeling more alive and actually responsive to what's happening in that sort of sense. So, yeah, it definitely adds that dynamic behavior in that sort of sense. And upon reading a little bit more about some of the other details that are included with that sort of thing, is really cool.
And that also ties into the final point of this preliminary features list, which are the highlight reactions. Your best in-game moments are now captured from every game and featured throughout your career. Share your highlights easily across social media channels and become an icon on and off the court. And I think we saw a bit of this in the reveal trailer, actually, when we saw that, like, an Instagram video with the live feed.
Or Facebook Live.
Or Facebook Live, yeah. So that's obviously something you can do. Is having these highlights for posterity. That's very cool, and presumably that's across all modes. Would have been really great to have this stuff when the story threads were big years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cool that they're doing that kind of stuff, and obviously influencers, YouTubers, etc., really want to share their moments, and it's great promotion for the game, and it's great for us to have these moments for posterity. So, yeah, I like that idea too. You know, it's maybe not the most important aspect, but there are many important aspects that they have focused on. But that is cool to see as well.
Yeah, and for me, like, this stuff and a couple other things that they included, that character behaviors and stuff like that, for me really stood out in this article or all the information that they put out, because for me it shows EA sort of thinking out of the box compared to what they've normally done in that sort of sense. And, you know, sort of feeling that all the players are sort of feel and look the same, and, you know, there's no element of personality aspect, but also thinking out of the box in terms of presentation. And this is the live feed stuff that we saw, like, in the trailer, and that, you know, not really seen that in any other sports title before, to a degree. So it's showing a new side of creativity and like I said, thinking out of the box and that sort of thing, and that adds to a cool presentation element, and, you know, potentially the things that we could do with it. We'll obviously know more in the weeks to come, but it also ties into a bit of conversation that I had with some of the developers when I was there last year, and it got me excited. I was like, wow, okay, so they had some things in mind and we're working on this, all right, and so. Yeah, that got me excited in that sense, and I was like, yes, okay, this is a cool step forward in that presentation, and how it could help, you know, story threads and stuff like that revive, and social connection element with community members and all that sort of thing. So I'm definitely all for that, and like I said, it was a great positive to sort of see this stuff being implemented.
So that's basically the preliminary features list that you can currently find on the site, but there was a lot more information that we're going to try and cover and summarize and comment on from articles, including the ones from SB Nation and Undefeated, but certainly the official website as well. One of the big things is the way that the One has been revamped this year with both the streets and the league. One of the things is that it is has gone global, basically, with the Streets World Tour. It involves playing on courts from around the world and recruiting players to your squad, and we will be able to build a squad this year of current and former NBA players. While also competing for overall rank and rewards. The rewards are going to be better, apparently. So this goes back to what we thought might happen when we saw some of the teasers with courts from around the world and how some of the developers were saying, oh, how cool is this? We thought, well, it's probably saying that because it's going to be in the game, which would be really cool as well. So
that's otherwise, it'd be a pointless tease.
Otherwise, yeah, it definitely wouldn't be worth mentioning except for perhaps a general interest's sake. But that is going to be the case. It has gone global. And there's a new narrative system being added to the league as well for those who prefer the NBA side of things. And it's also been revamped with a new progression system with icon abilities, which are based on real players, past and present. And that ties into the whole playstyles, traits, and so forth, which are still in effect, but they're separate. So you kind of be able to create... It's sort of like the hybrid archetypes in NBA 2K, the way I see it, is that you can have a certain playstyle, but then there's kind of sub-play styles with these icon abilities and this new progression system that's a bit deeper and less linear than last year. So it's sounding pretty good in that respect.
Yeah, and it's looking like, again, you know, you can sort of more tailor it to the way you want to play in that sort of sense. So, you know, there might be this overall sort of things that you can sort of unlock and do within your player archetype in that sort of sense. But if you want to sort of narrow it down to, I want to be more of this kind of player, and obviously using the traits and skill systems and stuff like that, it's looking like you need to sort of really hone in on that sort of player you want. So that adds an element of having the player feel more unique to maybe other, like someone else that you might match up against that is in a similar archetype, but you know, it'd be more personalized to how you want to have your player set up and all that stuff. So it's not in a sense, a one-shoe-fits-all sort of system, which again, you know, or one-size-fits-all system, I should say. Again, that adds to extra depth that Live hasn't had in a lot in like previous areas where, again, you know, it was even things from like animations and things like that was like a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. So the fact that they're sort of breaking away from that and trying to make it more individual and personalized and all that stuff is a great step forward. And, you know, bringing in the, you know, adding more signature ability things and yeah, things like this trait system and that, I think helps make every player feel more unique as opposed to one size fits all.
So looking at the article in a bit more depth, there's a general player progression path, includes an icon system, trait system, and there are new traits this year and better ways of leveling up and upgrading the traits. There's a skill system with better balance and swappable icon skill and signature ability system, and we saw some more signature animations in the trailer as well. Three unique decision points for upgrading your signature ability and swap your signature ability on the fly by switching your icon. So there's a bit more flexibility there as far as being able to have that depth of uniqueness to the players. The icon system, if you look at the terminology for that, the icon ability is an exclusive gameplay boost that can only be experienced by equipping the icon. For example, Magic Johnson gives teammates a shooting boost when he passes to them. Icon skill is a particular skill that is only available within a playstyle by equipping the icon. For example, Russell Westbrook is the only slasher with a dunk skill path. Icon boosts, which are rating boosts specific to an icon, for, say, Dirk Nowitzki getting post move boosts, other stretch fours do not. So again, there's that uniqueness of the icon ability and the playstyle. It's not one playstyle, you know, not one size fits all, as you said. Icon unlocks, which include animation, gear, and boosts that are only unlocked by playing with a certain icon style. Icon path, a leveling path that includes all upgrades and unlockable items. And icon ability upgrades are found on the icon path. These are three decisions to signify how you want to upgrade your icon ability. So depending on what you pick, you have different options there as far as that hybrid archetype, or the not so linear archetype as before, and with the traits and the skills are back. So yeah, depending on which path you can take, you can really create that unique kind of player.
Yeah, and again, that's a huge plus in, you know, things that particularly even before, I suppose, up until Live 16, that Live wasn't doing too well in a lot of cases. It kind of did a little bit with the Superstar Freestyle, but it wasn't really enough or deep enough or expanded upon. Or it felt more arcadey because you kind of had to trigger it as opposed to being a natural sort of input and all that stuff. So, yeah. It was like using a super combo thing in like Street Fighter as opposed to, you know, it was like, that's, I think that was the way I was trying to explain it.
Sure.
So, I'm liking the fact that, yeah, it's expanding and like I said, going outside of the box and trying to become more of a less cookie cutter, one size fits all system. So that for me is fantastic in that sense and a positive direction.
And getting back to the squad building, and this ties into how we now travel around the world and the Streets World Tour, kind of similar to the NBA Street Home Court Tour, really. We're looking at it, and they've mentioned that as an influence on the on this approach to the streets and what you can do. Basically, you put together a squad as you go from game to game, court to court, and country to country. So it's building on that whole Pro-Am tour from last year. So, and it's nice that they're doing something a little bit different with that.
Yeah, you know, it's not, and again, this is another area where Live can, you know, can get, even 2K's done a couple of times with a couple of things that are done where, you know, they make, implement something good 1 year and then it doesn't really get any real upgrade or modification in that for, or improvements in that for the next year.
Yeah.
And they kind of just leave it go stale. So the fact that they're continuing to expand on it and make it deeper and add something different to it and is really cool in that sense. So again, it's another positive thing that you have to give to the game in that sense and to the dev team for, you know, not just sort of going, okay, we've got this in, let's do something else sort of thing. That, you know, they kind of expand upon it, or
they're not resting on their laurels. They're building on what they've added.
Yeah, not settling. And that's probably,
The one thing that I guess stands out to me here is that this is talking about the single player mode of building your squad, which is cool and very street like, and I like the idea of it. But I think the thing that it really needs for Live is the squads for co-op online, and we haven't heard anything about that yet. Not ruling it out, because this is the first information we're getting about the game. There's obviously a lot more that we need to learn and want to learn, but I do hope that there are those squad options for co-op play, because that's been really great, as we've said before, in 2K. As much as we've ragged on 2K Pro-Am for issues with the experience, especially in 2K18, we've enjoyed being able to squad up and be able to play as a squad cooperatively online. So Live really needs that for its live run as well. So I'm hoping that there are squad options, you know, not just building a squad in terms of this single player experience in the street, you know, as an homage to NBA Street back in the day, but also the co-op side of things. There's also squad options there.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. It did indicate, like in the build your squad thing, for more information. I'd imagine that we'll learn more of that in the coming weeks when they start to talk more about the features and stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
Learn more about build your squad. Whether it's going to have the customization element like what 2K's program is, I don't imagine so this year. Like where you create jerseys, courts, and branding and all that stuff. But just the ability to, you know, have a squad with your mates and have a team and maybe even like a team name and stuff, that'll be, you know, a good starting point in that sense.
Absolutely.
Compared to last year in that. So
we have to really, really organize and do the play with friends options to to squad up.
And what I'm hoping too, like, if they've kept a similar method in terms of time frame for the how long it takes to upgrade and your skill sets of your player and that, and the attributes and things like that, that if we wanted to build our squads and you know, if we wanted to have certain roles, or if we wanted one player for sort of the solo aspect, but we also wanted it for like a squad aspect, you know, it's not that 400-hour grind to try and create a second player in that sort of sense.
Absolutely, and that was one of the great things about Live 18, that it seems to be carrying over to Live 19, so good news in that regard. Moving on to the, I guess, most important aspect, I suppose. I mean, we want to hear more about these modes and other modes like Franchise and Ultimate Team, etc. But the gameplay is obviously paramount. There is an article on some initial gameplay improvements, and the other articles around the web also are talking about that as well. But talking to Connor Dugan about some of the improvements to gameplay this year in an article on the official website, starting off with Real Player Motion that we've already talked about, but also mentions that it's a more smoother and more responsive experience, and also again goes into the whole signature aspect of the Real Player Motion, mentioning that guys like LeBron, Harden, Kyrie, and Curry will move like they do in real life, faster acceleration, different nuances on how they dribble and how they move, and all control with the left stick. So it's kind of getting back to what they were going for with Live 10, if you recall back in the day, with all those signature animations and players running and moving differently. So that's going to be huge, I think, if that pans out.
Yeah. And again, you know, that's helping bring differentiation between the players. And this is also where it goes into elements of players' behavior. Like like with Draymond, and, you know, you sort of, I guess, taunt him enough, or, you know, frustrate him enough, he'll do things like try and hard foul you and stuff like that. So their behaviors in the game will change. And again, that's, you know, there's pros and cons to players' behaviors and stuff. And, you know, some players might be more timid or just sort of more focused, whereas other players might sort of have a brain snap or a brain freeze, and they'll sort of do something reckless or something like that. So, you know, who's more composed, who's not, adds to another layer of dynamics in the actual gameplay in itself. So that's really cool in that sense.
And off-ball player movement has also been upgraded with the Real Player Motion. Player movement is more responsive and smoother when controlling players in the half court or in transition. Good news all around there. As far as changing the controls, it's not going to make a tremendous change as far as the basic concept of Live's controls. There's still going to be a right stick dribbling system, which allows players to pull up a variety of combo moves to attack the basket. There's more details to come, but apparently it's been greatly enhanced, the right stick dribbling. But apparently with the advantages of Real Player Motion, you can do a lot of moves just on the left stick alone. So it's not going to, you're not going to be reliant on having to pull off complicated combos on the right stick, although that will be possible. A lot more players can do, and again, the smoothness, the responsiveness is emphasized in those remarks there. New triple threat control, or overhauled the triple threat control with jab steps, a new pump fake system. So again, it comes back to that Real Player Motion, so again, having that control and the responsiveness, which, as we've discussed many times, has been a big deal, along with the animation quality. And as you alluded to earlier, brand new player skeletons, player model improvements, and thousands of new animations. Improving the animation pipelines to get rid of the legacy stiffness that you may have seen from past NBA Live. So we've seen some of that in the trailer already. People are noting that it's not perfect, but still greatly improved, and that is the main thing. And it does look like it's going to feel pretty good, and certainly hope so.
And like I said, it's year one in implementing everything into the new Real Player Motion engine. So, and again, this trailer is potentially at least 4 weeks old. So the build that they would have made it from is, and again, an older build. This is even before, you know, they would have had the E3 build in preparation, given what happened last year. Well, again, while I was over there, they had a trailer pretty much showing us on the first day, and, you know, this is where showing us, like, in particularly how the one was going to be done, and then they were even having the commentator, like the guy who does the little bit of commentary before you go into one of the, like, the Goodman League and all that stuff, and how he would give a description of the court. He'd just finished, like, recording one section of that, like, an hour earlier, and they'd queued it up. So, yeah, and so we got a live look at that, essentially, like, fresh off the fresh off the press in that sort of sense. So things like that would have again, minimum 4 weeks old, a lot of this stuff that we would have seen. And throwing back to what the difference between what I saw, what would have been the January, sort of February release, to what was done in May, was light and day indifference in terms of some of the animations. So, you know, there's probably been a little bit more work, obviously, since then. And again, the animations that they're adding in the week after the event that I was there. So, yeah, don't read too much into some of the old animations. They might still be getting worked and stuff like that. Probably some of them will still be there, but there'll be some improvements and things like that in from what we've seen now to come release time.
The main thing is getting rid of that stiffness on the whole.
Yeah.
And getting rid of the weird animations, those really weird sweeping one-handed, even calling them hooks is kind of generous. Some of those post moves that just didn't look good in Live 18, getting that kind of those legacy issues out is the important thing, and sounds like it's been part of the focus. So that is definitely encouraging. There's been improvement to one-on-one play, which is building upon that the jostle and the jostle system and everything else that was with the when you engage the ball handler in NBA Live 18 to go for a steal and to do the hip riding animations and everything.
So the two-cylinder effect, and that, again, was that described in past?
Yeah.
You get a window opportunity.
So it's almost, I don't want to call it a mini game as such, because it's not. That implies something like a button mashing or like a Guitar Hero system or something like that, or a quick time event, which it's not. It is in real time, but it is kind of that game within a game of that one-on-one defense and offense versus defense. There's
a strategy effect within the game.
Yeah. So they've added a new series of counter and combo moves, both the league and the streets this year. You can even do things, go around defenders' backs, pull off sham gods between the legs and between your own legs, double crosses, etc. So there's new systems there. I also hope they're in play in the regular NBA as well. Well, I suppose if they are in the league, they're going to be in franchise and other modes as well. But that is going to be the big thing with gameplay, is that they've improved this one-on-one play. And even a play off the ball as well. Because if you weren't guarding the ball handle last year, there wasn't a lot for you to do. But now they've expanded the one-on-one system to off-ball, to body players up away from the ball, and to counter moves like V-cuts, L-cuts, and different right-stick moves to get you open. I remember they had that way back in the day with off-ball control. It came in NBA Live 2004. So again, that this is the kind of thing that we've been missing. I'm glad to hear that kind of stuff's coming back, because that's going to make the gameplay a lot deeper without being too contrived or complex. And that's been, that's a big thing for Live, that it has that depth that 2K has had, but perhaps approach it a little bit easier. Because sometimes 2K's controls have been, especially a couple of generations ago, or at least one generation ago, kind of contrived. And I know that you can attest to that with trying to play some of those, like around about 2K10, 11, sometimes weren't as intuitive, the controls.
Yeah,
in my opinion, and some of the post moves were really, I thought, a bit too contrived. 2K has gotten better about that, but Live has always had that more simple approach, which has been more accessible. And if it's also got the same depth, so much the better. So I'm liking the sound of these improvements to one-on-one play, and the fact that the defense can have an impact, because that is definitely important in basketball games.
Yeah, I agree. And I think going back to what you were saying, like when that element of not being as accessible or responsive to gain, I think that was around the years where I was breaking controllers pretty regularly playing the game. So, because I think I went through about 3 controllers for my PC version and stuff like that.
Says it all.
So, yeah. Definitely, like, again, these improvements are really promising, given, and again, sort of seeing the birth of them in Live 18 and how they work, and how again they're not just sort of settling, and they're further delving into it and not ignoring it, and sort of expanding upon it some more, and trying to make it, bring it as deep as possible in the second year of it, and that, which is really cool. And again, one of the things that I've stressed, that Live has sort of done a misstep before in previous editions or releases and all that stuff. So yeah.
And the interactive environment, breaks the wall between the players and the court and everything off it. Players going to be saving the ball into the bench and the crowd. Players falling into the cameraman or crashing into the stanchion. Hopefully not Paul George style. That would be rather gruesome. I do hope to see injuries back in the game, but not that kind of fashion, I suppose. not that brutally.
Especially, given that I've actually seen that kind of actually happen, like, basically a foot in front of me and hearing the sound.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad enough seeing it on
YouTube. Yeah, but hearing that sound just adds that whole layer of, like, whoa.
players drawing with the opposing team's bench or the crowd members in Pro-Am. And again, I hope this is in the league and franchise, etc. as well.
This would be an opportunity for having Spike Lee in the crowd. You could do like the Reggie Miller sort of.
Oh yeah, I was thinking maybe you were going to go for the Malice at the Palace, and I think I don't think the NBA can go for that one.
No, I was being a little bit more polite. But yeah, no, this is cool thing, and yeah, the things that you could do with it, you know, if they were to include celebrities and stuff like that, and or iconic courtside seat members and stuff like that, like LA has obviously like Jack Nicholson and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it'd be cool little things like that, and where you could take it, and you know, if they were able to get some more legend players, and especially if they were able to get the rights to say like a Reggie Miller. You know, try and recreate that sort of choke mode and all that choke whole thing.
The taunt kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be kind of cool stuff to do further down the track and that sort of stuff.
It's going to be court storming in Pro-Am and street games. So in big games, if you hit a big shot, don't be surprised if the crowd looks to celebrate you. That'll be pretty cool. And that, again, that whole live atmosphere that they're going for. Collisions in the crowd, players trash-talking to each other. Crowd of the bench, try to bring in that secondary characters and tie it together to make a living environment. As we said, again, sounds very cool, and just giving that the game some personality and some atmosphere. And yeah, it also...
And again, the live team adding an element of creativity and something out of the box that we haven't seen, so...
And all new dynamic gameplay,
AI.
Yeah, I keep saying IA for some reason. Don't know what I've... I've been watching too much SVU lately, Law & Order, IAB. All new dynamic gameplay AI system with the goal of making every game feel different, introducing new AI behaviors that are true to life. So when you play against the star players who start to get hot and begin taking over a game, you're going to start to feel that. So felt a little bit of it last year, but not as much. Get the ball fed to them more aggressive, depending on personality types. Concept of purse whistle, interactive emotes where you can taunt the opposition or celebrate with your teammate. Players will start to do that depending on what personality type they have. And you brought up the example of Draymond Green, which is in the article as well. You can see him start getting really physical and attacking the rim or you know, getting a bit handsy on defense or whatever.
Well, life does have that animation if you do get hit in the grind area, so they've already got Draymond's signature move in there.
they were planning for that since last year, yeah. So we are seeing all that kind of stuff. Like the sound of it, I definitely like the sound of the deep AI and everything. Again, not to harp on it, I just hope it really does come down to the traditional gameplay as well, that it's not just in the one and the streets. I do want to see that across the whole board. I do want to see a great NBA game, because that is the thing that a lot of us have said, that even though this stuff is great, it is NBA Live, which means, you know, not just the career mode, but also franchise mode and everything else about simulating the NBA within the game. But if that tech is in the game, and I'm starting to go into EA's slogan here, but if it is in the game, you know, that's a big improvement on what we've seen before, where we have seen that sterile gameplay and the AI breaking down and not having those reactive plays and the not running the real strategies and not basically just sounds like improvements all around, and I like the sound of it.
Yeah, same. And
but I do hope that it is game wide basically, because I don't want to see it just be about the one, because I'm a little bit burned out on career modes, I have to say. So I want to get back into franchise gaming, and obviously I enjoy Ultimate Team as well. So I do want to see it across the board.
I do imagine it is in the NBA, like, given that, you know, like, when you get hit in the head by the ball animation or hit in the groin animation,
sure,
things like that, you know, that's in all the modes in that sort of sense. So I'd imagine that continue that, and if it'll be, yeah, I don't see it just being singled out for one mode entirely. I definitely see it being brought across the board in that sense. It makes sense in that way. So,
and I guess they're focusing on the one because that is the big mode, because career modes are very popular these days, the premier modes of basketball gaming, sim-style games. So, and it is what they're introducing here at EA Play. So I guess that's what they're focusing on. But overall, a huge info dump, a lot of promising information there. The trailer made the game look really good and inviting and, you know, exciting. So it's been a successful showing already, and the game is on display, so we should be hearing some more. Some people have been recording off-screen, which they're not supposed to do. There has been some leaked footage, raw footage there, of course, which, yeah, I guess is
going to get... including of Spencer Dinwiddie playing as well.
So,
like, he was at the event?
Yes. I mean, some of it might get taken down. We'll have to see what happens there, but that has been posted in the forum you can check out. I'm sure there will be more official channels coming through with that in the coming days, and people, of course, giving their impressions. Several NBA Live community members and listeners of this show, and a shout-out to you and for all the coverage that you're doing at EA Play. They will be sharing their impressions, of course, in the coming days and weeks, and in between getting more information. So it's a very strong start for Live in this preview season that it's tipping off, and hopefully we get a steady stream of similarly promising information from here on out. But it was definitely worth staying up for, Ben.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I did. And, yeah, I think very positive. And you could definitely see a lot of the improvement areas. And like I said, the little things that they're doing outside of just, you know, a dribble animation or like dribbling the ball up and down, you know, the stuff they're doing off the court stuff, those things like stand out in terms of, like I said, just allowing more creativity and like thinking out the box for me has me excited that it's like I don't want to say fresh start, but, a new lease on life in terms of bringing the game to feeling more life, like alive in that sort of sense. And going away from that sort of robotics, sort of blank face expressions and that. So for me, that's taking a good step forward and doing things that we've not seen in any of the games before. So I'm happy for that sort of stuff as well.
And while it is important for them to acknowledge those staples, which is why it was so big when they brought back roster editing last year with the patch, and they need to have the traditional gameplay needs to be up to scratch. Franchise needs to get better, absolutely. Ultimate Team, which is kind of an old concept now, needs to be getting better as well, but certainly franchise and regular gameplay, old school, non-player lock gameplay needs to improve and be just as good as well. They do need to be adding those staples, because people might say, well, you know, you need to move on, and those are old games, but at the same time, they're popular features, and we've had them before, and not having them now does irritate people, understandably so. But at the same time, you know, I agree with what you're saying, is that they are innovating, and it's been a while since EA and Live has innovated that way. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, they were doing that a lot. Right Stick Dribbling, All-Star Weekend, Franchise Mode. You know, they had a franchise mode before 2K did. 2K has, I mean, what they've done with My League is way beyond anything that Live has ever done with Dynasty or Franchise. But, you know, they were the innovators originally, and it seemed like every year they were adding something new and fresh, and whether it was 10-man Freestyle Control in the first place, Freestyle Air, Dynasty, Franchise, the All-Star Weekend, 3-Point Shootout, whatever you want. They were innovating, and we haven't seen that as much because they've been trying to play catch-up and build that foundation. So now that they can innovate a bit, I do want to see them hit those old staples and have that really fleshed-out game across the board. But to do some of this new stuff and to develop those hooks and to get people in and with improved gameplay, you know, NBA Live 19 is looking pretty healthy, and Live 18 was quite a few steps in the right direction, and it doesn't seem that they're erring and going in the wrong direction or resting on their laurels. I'm coming away with some very positive impressions coming out of EA Play, and that's really great to see.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, like, with Live 18, it did feel like two steps forward and really no steps back in that sort of sense. I'm really hoping that they can continue and sort of not just take one little step forward. I'm hoping that it's at least two steps all the way in terms of it. And like I said, using the building analogy, that, you know, the foundation's there, so now things can become the final touches and all that stuff to having the completion of the project in that sort of sense comes together a lot faster. So this is where, obviously, where the modes, the animation quality, the gameplay, the little presentation elements and stuff like that come together, and
the overall experience, I guess.
Yeah. So this has been good to see, and again, let's hope that this momentum really does carry on, and like I said, not just be a little step, but another biggest, even potentially bigger step than what they did with Live 18 in terms of things, in terms of the polish element and the presentation and the modes, because yeah, definitely the modes need to be deeper. And so that element of the game isn't stale.
And obviously they are going to have a new story for the one, but it's not going to, if anything, if last year's any indication, it's not going to be anywhere near as intrusive or annoying as what 2K is doing with their story. You know, we'll talk more about the 2K story when they give more information about that in 2 months' time. Yeah, it's
release week.
Hopefully, you know, we continue to get more good news, more great information, and that our other concerns are allayed and our other desires are catered to or begin to be catered to. We'll be covering that in the weeks to come. But again, great to see that from EA Play 2018. Still some more information, which I guess we'll cover in next week's show, and I'll do some news posts as necessary with collecting some of the reports from around the community. But no, good stuff. You know, like, again, it was worth staying up for and losing sleep today. With that being said, we move on from Live 19 to 2K19 now. We don't know as much about the game itself, really. Certainly we don't have any glimpses of the game as yet, but we do know who's going to be on the 20th Anniversary Edition cover. That is LeBron James, who some believe is the greatest player of all time, and certainly the cover is making that claim. I will respectfully disagree with that, and out of respect to people who, our friends of ours, who do like LeBron James, we will be respectful in a disagreement. Certainly it is a debate that we need to have more respectfully, but I digress. But anyway, he is on the cover of NBA 2K19, the 20th Anniversary Edition, which is coming out, if you pre-order that, on the 7th of September, which is the same date as NBA Live 19. The Standard Edition, though, Ben, is September 11th, and unlike previous years, where all pre-ordered versions, whether it was the Standard Edition, the Legend Edition, or Legend Edition Gold of recent years, last year most recently with Shaq on the cover, of course, of those two Legend Edition versions, you can only get it, the early tip-off this time, by ordering the more expensive 20th Anniversary Edition, which retails for $99.99 US dollars, whereas the Standard Edition is the standard $59.99. Not the goodwill we were hoping for after all the debacles with 2K18.
No, it's like they went, well, hold my beer in terms of seeing if they can outdo what they mistake or anything like that that they did. I think the special edition version in Australia is about $130.
Might be, well, that's cheaper than last year. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Because Legend Edition Gold last year was 150, as much as 150,
210.
210 some places? Was that digital, yeah, or...?
That was the physical.
Right.
Oh, sorry, the version that... Yeah, the version that, like, when I was trying the... on the 2K store thing was... Sorry, was a digital version of the special edition, so...
Right.
And that was off straight off the 2K site. It was interesting, you could only pre-order the PC and... I think it was PC and Xbox One version. I didn't have the PS4 version on there,
mm-hmm,
when I checked. So, yeah. But disappointed in that you have to order. Yeah, I think they've gone a bad route in this one.
It shows how cocky they are with the sales and everything, and that they have looked at the sales and looked at the recurrent revenue and thought, oh, well, people are paying it, not realizing that people are pretty angry about it. And the responses to it have not generally been, as you would expect, saying, you're just trying to get more money now by taking... That was the big thing, taking it away. Because if it had just been... If the early tip-off weekend promotion was just the Legend Editions in previous years, it wouldn't be a big issue. But because it was the Standard Edition as well, and because they've taken it away, you know, it's just like taking content away and making it paid DLC. It's not a good business practice. I mean, it's a smart business practice. It's not one that's full of goodwill, though. And in that respect, it's not necessarily a smart one, especially when your fan base is already feeling very riled. Your fan base has turned on the NBA 2K League that you're trying to do. You know, your name is not and reputation is not that great at the moment. And you go ahead and do it again. And, you know, I posted my disgust on Twitter, and a couple of morons wanted to come out against me about that and call me a hater, because that's what you do when you're too stupid to come up with a cogent argument. Let's be blunt about it. You know, calling someone a hater when they have a valid criticism also, and then going ahead and trying to say that it's because you've got, you sarcastically referred to yourself as a bitter old jaded hater in your Twitter profile in response to the stupidity of calling people haters. Kids these days, Ben, I'm a grumpy old man of 33. I don't like it, but that's the case. That's the case I'm going with these kids on social media these days, and skateboarding on the path and all these other things they're doing in the music.
Get off
days.
My damn grass.
Basically, yeah, I'm the old man yelling at pre-orders. But in any event, it wasn't a good move. And you look at the pre-order bonuses, the standard edition, 5,000 virtual currency, 10 My Team League packs, still a good one a week, and I can tell you from last year that they were pretty garbage odds that we got, and one Cover Athlete Sapphire My Team card, pretty standard. 20th Anniversary Edition for another $40, 100,000 virtual currency, 50,000 My Team points, which does suggest they're doing something with My Team, that you're actually giving you some My Team points, 20 My Team League packs, 10 My Team packs as well, so there's both the two different packs you can get. Delivered one a week beginning at the start of the season, and 20 are also delivered one per week. 5 LeBron-themed murals for My Court, LeBron My Court design, King's Collection, Nike LeBron apparel and footwear, 25 pairs, exclamation mark. And also physical items, collectibles, including a poster, a sticker sheet, and a wristband. Joy. So the physical collectibles aren't as good as previous years, I would say, off the bat. But you look at the difference of what you're getting in the pre-order bonuses. They really are pushing that 20th anniversary edition very hard. You know, you get the tip-off then, you get the 5,000 VC. If it's anything like last year, 5,000 VC is going to be nothing as far as what you want to do with it. That's not even going to get you a My Team pack. It's not going to get you a significant upgrade for your My Player on day one. And as you called last year, when you're offering 100,000 virtual currency in the 20th anniversary edition, that suggests that you're going to need 100,000 virtual currency to really get your player up to speed out of the gate.
Yeah. See, this is an opportunity where Live can go do what they did last year, you know, pre-order for like $30 or $40 US. And, you know, good opportunity. And given that it comes out on the same day as the earlier, like, special edition of 2K. So that's a way to sort of steal some customers in that sense.
Well, it's a better pre-order bonus. We don't know what the pre-order bonuses for Live are going to be this year, but if there is a reduction in cost, and if there is a better, you know, obviously there's no pay-to-win mechanics in Live, which is the big thing that has it going for them at the moment, in terms of the one compared to My Career. It's a way to build that goodwill that 2K just doesn't seem to be concerned about. And again, this is the company, it's not the developers. You know, we know the developers that we know are putting in, you know, the hard yakka, they're putting, you know, to drop the Australianism, apologies to our international audience there. They're putting in the hard work, the hard yards. They're, you know, they're working hard on the game. They care about the game, the developers that we know, Baluba, Leftos, hi Leftos, you know, OG, everyone like that care about the game. You know, Baluba doing those polls and everything, asking people about gameplay, that's all great, but these business practices from Take-Two, Visual Concepts, or Take-Two, 2K Sports, whatever, yeah, they stink, and they deserve to be called out on it. If it was any other company doing it, EA, Activision, Bethesda, Blizzard, whatever, they'd get called out for it, and rightfully so, and I think it's a poor showing, considering how loyal the fan base has been, and how successful they've helped the game to be with the support of it, and, you know, even to the point of all this recurrent revenue, and you're not giving anything back, you just take more? Nah, that's wrong. That's shoddy. That's too greedy. That's not 2K, that's too greedy.
2G.
Yeah.
NBA 2KG 19. We'll take all your cash. It is it's disappointing. The success from GTA Online and with all the shark card stuff, definitely I think it's got to the head, you know, and and the investors and the executives and that are just want to milk that cash cow as long as they can. And this is an opportunity where the consumer's wallet can say enough is enough. So,
and it is on us to say enough is enough. Yep. You know, if, as long as we indulge them, we do have ourselves to blame for that. But yep, it is hard, especially with the microtransactions, because as I will talk about in, we've talked about it before, and as I want to talk about again in future articles and Monday Tip Off, is that it's all well and good to say don't pre-order, don't pay to don't use the pay-to-win mechanics, but a lot of people will pre-order, you know, so your protest becomes a drop in the bucket, and a lot of people will pay to upgrade their players on day one, and those players are the ones that set the competitive tone online. So you're kind of forced to either really grind or pay, because there's no real matchmaking system in place, and without that, you're basically going up against the people who are using pay-to-win mechanics. So what do? You grind or you pay to win yourself, or you just don't enjoy the experience.
Yeah,
those are your options, basically.
You know, for a lot of people now, the incentive will be to try and get in the 2K league for next year, so they'll want to try and grind up as soon as possible. You know, for trying to chase that opportunity and that. So yeah, we're kind of in a sticky situation in terms of that. You know, with what consumers want to try and do. So,
and you know, it's been pointed out. X pointed out to me on Twitter, and it's a fair point that there's a chance they turn around and make the and give the standard edition the early tip of the weekend as well as a concession, as a reward for fans if they reverse their decision on it, much the same way as perhaps you might look at a Microsoft changing their mind about what they were going to do with the Xbox One as far as the always on and the
DRM and all that,
etc. Yeah, but the damage is still done because the initial you can see what they initially wanted to do.
Yeah,
and that's what it cost Microsoft back then.
It still cost them now in a lot of ways. Look how far behind they are in terms of
2K is out in front, so 2K has got a lot of wiggle room here. But again, with Live 19 catching up, perhaps, and people not being happy with what happened with 2K18, again, that they're putting out this pre-order, offering pre-order before showing anything about the game except for the cover of the 20th anniversary edition. We don't know who's going to be on the standard edition cover yet.
Do you think they'll announce like a goal, like especially if LeBron won a championship? Do you think they would have announced like a gold special edition,
like an either one? Yeah, they might have. But I think they are just running with the two versions this year for, you know, because they do have him as the they have an active player as the 20th anniversary edition cover. So they could get back on this policy, and maybe there's a good chance that they do, but I think the damage has been done, certainly to their reputation, if not the sales. It remains to be seen how much they can really push the community before there is that backlash. And I think it's going to come down to Live being that viable alternative before the backlash really hurts them. But
yep,
I think they are playing with fire at the moment. If nothing else, I think it is a very shoddy thing to do to a very loyal fan base. Speaking of the cover, notably, LeBron James is not. He's just wearing a generic black jersey. So I think they're covering their butts after what happened last year with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
That's been a lot of people have pointed that out. And there is an anniversary edition trailer which shows some footage of LeBron in previous 2K games. So they haven't shown any 2K19 footage yet, but it is hard to get excited for 2K19. That's because of what happened with 2K18. I'm quite happy, even though I'm running a site dedicated to covering basketball games. I'm actually quite happy to wait until September 11th to play the game. It'll give me some time to get started on Live instead, since it comes out first, and to help me juggle the time between them, because I don't really want to buy the special edition, especially after everything that happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same for me. Especially, I think really it's sort of been the last two or three years, you know, where especially how they've been giving out information about the game, and when it's come to things that they've said and it actually not come to play or be true or not be correct in some way. You know, that element of misleading or not clarifying has sort of really hindered me from wanting to do the pre-order stuff. Right now, if I was to buy the game, I don't think I'll be doing it for the my career aspect of it. I think it'd be more just sort of wanting to play some of the legend teams and stuff like that, do some of the stuff that I was more wanting to try and do this year with that. But because the my career aspect was too much of a grind, it just wore me out of the game in that sort of sense. Well,
that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I want to do 2K Prime anymore. If it's anything like the last, like last year, like 2K18, I don't think we're going to enjoy the experience, in which case I don't have that much of a incentive to play my career, especially with the story, you know?
Yeah.
So, which my feelings are quite well known. If you follow the podcast or my articles, I've been very clear about that. So, but I do play it because I enjoyed 2K17, my career, a lot, because I thought the story was quite well done. And of course, we were really enjoying Pro-Am as well. But without Pro-Am and without enjoying my career mode for what it is, I don't have that incentive to play it anymore, which allows me to get back to the franchise, my league. And of course, like you say, playing with some legend teams. I will be getting the game because I will be doing coverage of it, of course, and I'm a completionist, I guess, in that respect as well. But yeah, I'm quite happy to wait those 4 days because I don't want to pay the extra for the LeBron edition, basically. So
yeah, and I don't want to buy any more VC. Like, that's another reason as well.
Absolutely.
So making it more an offline experience, eliminating the extra revenue element that they're counting on, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm done with that. Even if I'm playing my team, I'm going to boycott the microtransactions as much. I was quite happy to do it with Live this year, but I'm not doing it with 2K again. Or I'm certainly going to try hard not to. But the other thing we do know about the game is that it mentioned the neighborhood, so the neighborhood is going to be back. Yay.
more loading screens.
more loading screens, more running through the same neighborhood, more garbage that's got nothing to do with actually playing some virtual basketball.
Maybe by the time that, say, NBA 2K40 or something like that will have teleportation, you know, that device.
Well, it'll be realistic then, sure, yeah. Everyone will have the flying car, but how much VC will the flying car cost? But that is, you know, we've talked about the neighborhood before. I thought it would be in the game. I wasn't expecting them to abandon the concept after a year. I hope they've improved it somehow. If I do get into my career, just for the people who are playing my career, and if I don't, I hope that it's better, because I've seen a lot of people express disdain about the neighborhood, and not just, you know, bitter old people like us, but, you know, people, those young folks in their teens and 20s, also saying this is kind of garbage approach as well. I hope they've addressed those issues and taken some of that criticism on board and not just made it another way to gouge VC. Wishful thinking with the way the company policies are going at the moment, sadly. But, and I mean, it's hard to do a segment like this and not sound like we're hating on 2K, but it's just another tone-deaf promotion from them. And to take it one step further, they've pushed through a new patch that has, for 2K18, that has basically done nothing except add a pre-order link for 2K19.
Well, that's as far as we can tell, because there's been no patch notes.
There's been no patch notes. We haven't noticed any improvements to anything in the game, basically. Looking back at the update history, which you can find in our wiki, just punch in NBA 2K18 official patches in the search box and you'll find that one. We really have to go back to patch 107, 108. 108 seeming to be a hot fix for 107. But those two patches that came out in late December last year that really addressed anything of significance to the majority of gamers, the rest of them have been about the league combine optimization, first adding the support for it and then optimizing it. So yeah, basically that's all we've been getting for the past 6 months. The latter half of the support cycle for 2K18 has just been league stuff, and now an advertisement and a pre-order link for 2K19.
Oh, and there was 5 shoes added, so that's really all I've really done to the game.
That certainly addresses the problems with shooting and player motion, yeah.
and clipping. And
well, I mean, we knew that stuff probably wasn't going to get patched too much, but yeah, it's the bottom line is we're just people feel so screwed by 2K the last couple of years, certainly this year as well, and this pre-order malarkey is certainly not helping their matters at all. They're also a 30% off VC sale at the moment, which is basically their response to the Live 19 hype. Which has kind of gone down like a lead balloon, because when your response to the other company showing something cool is to give people a way to spend more money, even at a discount, no, that's not a good strategy at all. So, I am getting it to 2K19 partly out of obligation for the content for the site, and I'll check it out. Hopefully it will be better than 2K18. I'll enjoy it more. But as far as this 20th anniversary edition, obviously LeBron is not one of my favorite players, so that's a factor as well. But if it was better value, I'd consider it, but it's not. And the standard edition, they're just giving people nothing for their pre-orders. I guess I might play a bit more My Team this year, so I might pre-order it very close to the date just to get the My Team packs and the cover player card, whoever the standard edition cover player ends up being. But it is funny that they're kind of hedging their bets with LeBron just wearing that generic jersey. And I guess it fits with this cover they're doing, which is kind of a cool-looking cover, I will say. But yeah, they obviously don't want it happening. The same thing happening will happen with Kyrie Irving in 2K18.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
And given that, you know, there's more uncertainty than there was with Kyrie. Like, Kyrie's things sort of happen really out of the blue. But, you know, it's sort of been sort of, like, on the people's mind for the last year or two is where LeBron go.
Will he stay beyond the four years or so? Absolutely.
Mm.
So that's pretty much all we have for the news this week. Big week of news. The preview season is presumably tipping off now, but we never know. Sometimes it stops to heat up and then it goes cold for a few weeks, but we will find things to talk about even if there is no news. But we do look forward to more news about Live 19 and 2K19 as well. We will definitely cover both games and hope for the best and try to cover it as objectively as possible, though certainly when something disappoints us, we will not hold back. But as we said, we don't have any Our Week in Basketball gaming segment this week because we haven't really been playing much. Kind of getting to that stage of the year where we're taking a bit of a break again, and obviously a lot of news to cover. But we do want to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals, which just wrapped up. Wrapped up in a week. It's been a while. In fact, it's been 11 years since we had a sweep in the NBA Finals. In fact, it was LeBron's first appearance in the Finals with the Cavs back in 2007 against the Spurs. Turned out to be a sweep again, and the fourth game was not really close after the half.
No, it was a very lackluster effort in that sense. The Cavs did have a lead at halftime, didn't they?
The Cavs did pull ahead at one point, and then the Warriors just pulled away and did their usual second half run where it sort of stays close for a half, and then they realize that they're the Warriors and really good and start playing like it, and they just blew the game open. So two blowouts and two close games for the series. LeBron put up some big numbers, but also kind of wilted a bit in the second half of the blowouts. Was not really a factor down the stretch as the game started to slip away in game four. Although now he's saying that he was playing most of the series with a broken hand after punching the chalkboard after finding out the timeout debacle in game one. But for a player who broke his hand, he didn't really seem to be really demonstrating any effects of pain or his performance. So obviously I have no insider information about this. I'm just cynically speculating. But it really does seem like an excuse, because we didn't see his hand taped or wrapped until after the finals, which, if he was playing with that not taped, maybe you could say that he's foxing, but if it really is that bad, it's either reckless or a lie. So,
yeah,
you know, what do you reckon?
Well, I know I've done the reckless because I've punched the glass backboard. And yeah, I mean, I did recklessly play for 3 months without going to the doctor and getting an x-ray and that, which was a big mistake on my part. And it hurts. And trust me, you can't play the same way when you've got a fractured bone.
You're not throwing lobs off the backboard and throwing it down emphatically.
No. I mean, I was still getting blocks and that, but my block average dropped probably about at least two a game at that point. But mind you, I was getting like somewhere between like six to eight blocks a game, sure, at that stage. So, so yeah, that was reckless on my part. But yeah, even after like press games, like press interviews, I mean, he probably, if he wasn't foxing or not using it as an excuse, trying to show weakness, you know, until, you know, the series was done stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, they couldn't try and exploit it, and especially, you know, you got Zaza and Draymond, you know, you don't want them, hack the bone.
Yeah.
In that sort of sense.
But it was his shooting hand, and it was not like he wasn't pulling it for jump shots, because people say, oh, he was hesitating, like, really? He was firing up 30-footers and, you know, a lot of jump shots and such, so...
He could have taken a lot of painkillers to sort of help minimize it. Like, you see, like, some rugby league players, when they have a hit, you know, they'll take a shot, basically.
That's true, I suppose, but it's just funny that it comes out and it's almost like it's making an excuse after the fact.
I can definitely see it that way as well. Yeah, and like I said, I was playing devil's advocate. If it was true, you know, then
there is a reason for recklessness. Yeah, that's and Q pointed that out in the forum as well. So that is a point to consider. But the point is that the ultimate point is that the Cavs dropped the series. The Warriors were heavily favored, to say the least. I think we both picked a sweep, five games at most. Was not surprised. I was not thrilled to see the matchup. So the fact that it's over with. I was kind of happy to see it over and done with quickly, to be honest.
Yep.
I kind of didn't enjoy the playoffs as much as I thought I would with some of the one-sided series and whatnot, and the fact that it turned out to be the fourth straight year of this. And it's been brought up by people like Charles Barkley that even back in the 80s when there was those dominant teams, you never saw the four in a row, the three or four in a row. At most, there were two. When the Lakers and Celtics faced off two years in a row, and I think the
Then the Bulls and Jazz as well.
Yeah, yeah. So it was different matchups throughout the 80s and 90s a lot. Even though there were familiar faces on top, there were still differences, and the Pistons would come up one year, and then the Lakers were out, then the Blazers took over a couple of years, and the Lakers as well. So there were alternating teams. You never got the same matchup more than 2 years in a row. And it's kind of good to get a repeat and maybe even a three-peat, but by the fourth year, not everyone, of course. Some people still enjoy it and find it to be a rivalry, and fair enough. But I was certainly bored of it. I'm not a fan of either team. I was ready for it to be Celtics-Rockets. I'll take a Celtics-Lakers again. There's always that story rivalry. But I was ready for Celtics-Rockets this year. Unfortunately, it didn't happen with Game 7 of both series coming down to the incumbent conference champions. But yeah, I was kind of happy that it just ended when it did, and now we can get on to maybe a very interesting off season and see what happens moving forward. And certainly with LeBron, you know, a lot of people are speculating that he's going here and there and reading into every clue, just as they do every time that he's got a chance to leave. I wouldn't be that surprised if he stays this time. And I know I've said that the last two times and been wrong both times, but third time might be the charm. And you know, he is coming off a finals appearance. The Cavs are going to do anything they want. Wherever he goes in the East, whether he stays or goes, is probably going to be the front runner anyway. So does he go to Boston and be on with Kyrie Irving?
Hi, Kyrie. I
was like, man, I just got away from you. But it's just, I don't know. You know, people saying he's going to the Lakers. Would he go to the West? I mean, he's got an easy path to the finals every single year in the East. That's the thing. Like, yeah. does he give that up? Does he try and add that to his legacy that he does it in both conferences, you know?
And I suppose, like, depending on the circumstances too, like, he'll minimize having to play the Warriors as much as possible during the regular season, so...
Does he go to the Warriors?
Oh, man, then I'll just tune out the league.
I might just stick to the NBL. That's how drastic it would be, I think, if it goes to the... With all due respect to the NBL, of course, which is getting better and better. Not quite on the level of the NBA, though. So it would still be a drastic step for me. But, yeah. I don't know. I still feel like he might stay in Cleveland this time around. Like, when he left the first time, it was to chase championships because that was Big Free's legacy. Then coming home to Cleveland and winning there and kind of atoning for leaving in some respects and setting up his family there, that was important too. But now the pressure's off. I mean, you've got a lot of people like you, I won't even mention the names, they're not worth it. But a lot of the sports writers are already saying he's the greatest of all time, and fans buying into that as well. I do respectfully disagree. But his legacy is pretty solid as it is. Even becoming the first MVP to lose six finals series, people still think very highly of him, rightfully so, because he is one of the greatest of all time. One of the greatest of all time. I don't think there's the incentive to leave this time as much as there was in years past.
I think given that some of the players who's helped get some bad contracts, and you know, if the Cavs can't get rid of them, then I could probably see him going. And I think if they can't get any other big names to come and join the Cavs, and that I can definitely see him going. Like I said, I think in the previous podcast, LeBron is definitely going to be the last person to make his decision. Kind of free agency, he's just going to wait and let all the pieces play and before he makes his move.
Here's the thing, he's not a free agent. He has to opt in or opt out. So he will probably opt out, if nothing else, to sign a bigger contract, which he can do.
Yep.
So I could see him opting out simply to keep his options open. But he does actually have to opt out to do it. And he can't... Then they lose the bird rights then, I believe. Because he can't just say, oh, well... If he opts out of the contract, basically, they can't do the sign and trade.
I thought he had, like, set basically a contract length that was basically entitled to being a free agent.
No,
so.
I thought so too, but it's a matter of he has a player option. So he can opt out. So
okay.
He'll have to decide that, and then... I mean, he can still make a decision after that, but... if he opts out, they've got the better... I think there's a thing they can't do a sign and trade or something. It's a situation with that. They can offer the new contract, but it is different. In any event, maybe he will wait. And you are right. I mean, if he does leave, the Cavs are not in a good position with those big contracts. He will leave them screwed. He will not be a popular figure, probably, even if he leaves. Considering, even though he brought them the first championship ever, I think if he leaves them with that kind of mess of the players that he recruited, I think there will be some grumbling. I mean, you've still got that 2016 championship to thank him for and everything, but I think
it comes at a cost.
I think people will grumble a bit about those contracts and the fact that they're lengthy and that the rebuilding process is going to be quite painful without him. Of course, they do have the eighth pick of the draft, which is the other thing, and a thing that might keep him might help him stay as well. Getting a
a decent draft pick,
a top 10 player, a top 10 draft pick. So it is possible, but as you say, if nothing else, it's going to overshadow the rest of the offseason, whatever his decision, and it's hard to not use that word and think of the decision, but whatever his decision is going to be is going to have such an impact on the rest of free agency. It's kind of a shame because it overshadows what everything else is doing, including the fact that the Warriors just won their third title in 4 years.
Yep.
You know, it's and yes, of course, they brought in Durant to a 73-win team, but nevertheless, they are building a dynasty there in Oakland, the Golden State Warriors, and it's kind of overshadowed.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Warriors may get the championship in the end, but LeBron may get the last laugh in terms of the media attention being on him.
He gets the attention, if nothing else. So.
Yeah.
It will be an interesting off season, and now we obviously the draft is coming up, and I'm not sure what the Bulls are going to do, except maybe mess it up.
what pick do they have again? Sorry,
They have the seventh pick, so I'm hoping it's not going to be another Pfizer pick. Pfizer, it's I can't say his name without it's like a Newman situation with me, but Pfizer. But it's, so the offseason is upon us. Could be an interesting one. And I guess the Warriors, hats off to the Warriors for winning their third in 4 years. It is becoming a dynasty there. When will they lose? That is the question.
Yeah, and how many are they, how many of the players are they going to actually able to retain?
with salary cap stuff as well, moving on to next year and after. So
but you know, Steve Kerr did say this was the toughest one, and it definitely was their toughest road because there's a lot of mileage playing a lot of games in the last few years, and other teams are getting better. If that wasn't Houston's best shot, they could knock them off next year. They were a quarter and a half away from doing it this year.
Yeah, but you could expect that with like even elements of Chris Paul. You know, he'll have that sort of tendency in that part to the big moment slip in that sense, or in this case, be injured. I think that's more the case with Chris Paul. He'll sort of be more injured when the big moments play into it, and then James Harden sort of more choke in the big plays, and you know, especially when the team thus missed 27 three-pointers in a row.
Yeah.
Which is just absurd. It's like, just drive inside. What is it? It's like, is the key lava or something like that?
The floor is lava, yeah. Paint is lava. Wet paint. Don't avoid wet paint.
Yeah.
We saw some of that in other teams as well, and that's what I don't like about the current style of play is the jacking of threes, which when they're missing is a very ugly basketball, you know, and you can talk about some of the grinding play of the late 90s wasn't necessarily the prettiest basketball, but there were still teams making better decisions than just tossing up a bunch of bad threes. And we saw the Cavs shoot themselves out of games twice in the finals when they went cold. We saw the Celtics did it in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, tossing up a lot of bad threes that missed. Even the Warriors at times when they go cold and they keep tossing up threes, and you're like, this is, I know you can hit a lot of them, but you're not hitting them right now. And indeed, in Game 3, the Warriors started off the game by Game 2 or Game 3, they're just pounding it inside, and it was really working for them and got them off to that really good lead. So it's something about the modern game that people say that, you know, threes are worth more than twos, but if you miss 27 of them in a row, they're not worth anything. So,
yeah.
You know. But I guess we'll see. It's what we have in front of us, the preview season for NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19, and at least a month of interesting stuff in the off season. So I guess once the off season gets boring again, we'll at least have the games to look forward to.
Yeah, so that'll be a nice little sort of transition between the two things. So that way we'll at least have something to talk about.
And if not, I'm sure we'll find a way to talk at length about user-submitted topics and anything else that, that catches our fancy. Fallout 76.
Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, I'm sure we can go off topic if we absolutely need to. No problems there. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 252 of the NLSC podcast, the EA Play 2018 season and also NBA Finals season finale edition of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also subscribe and catch us on various podcast catcher apps, including Podcast Addict, and of course stream the podcast on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And of course, we're also on Instagram, where I just finally got around to posting some more images from NBA Live 19. That's NLSC Basketball. And if you'd like to keep up with us, what we're doing for all of our original content, as well as our modding community, we certainly hope you do. Keep it locked to NBA-live.com throughout the preview season for all the news. We hope to get some interviews. And of course, we'll be doing all our original content. And again, all the great stuff from our modding community. If it's about basketball games, you will find it at the NLSC. So that's it for episode number 252. Thank you again for joining us. Until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm O'Kane.
And we're out like a trailer, the Cavaliers, and maybe LeBron.